There's a handout sheet in the bulletin if you care to follow along. I talked the last 2 weeks about worry. It's always easy to worry, isn't it? We made it part one and part two, and so I don't know if you worry any less or if you have the opportunity and you're sitting down worrying, we'll call those things to remembrance. But I thought our world around us, it seems, is changing at such a breakneck pace. Have to admit that. Our country is changing, but not only our country, our world. And many times when I preach for my benefit. I'm just sharing with you things that I research in Scripture and remind myself about. And this is one of these times. I want to talk about hope. If you do look at our world today, and you can go back probably 15, 20 years, is that it seems like everybody's concerned about the future. Do I have it on? Is it on? Okay. I've seen Dan get up and Dan's the sound guy, and I'm thinking, what did I do wrong? Because I always do something wrong. I can remember being at Wood Mode. Look at that, a Wood Mode story before we even get to the first point. It's going to be a good day today, right? And we used to always get summer help, and it would be teenagers. And, you know, a lot of times when you work with people over the years that you do, you actually grow together, especially in a maintenance department where you rely on each other. You grow pretty much as a family. You have your family scuffles. You have your family squabbles. You have sibling rivalry, and you make fun of each other. And so that's just working, okay? But every once in a while, and at least once a year, we would have young people that were going to college, much like Katie, she's here, and we had young ladies work with us where they would be painting. And it was always interesting bringing these young people into the shop because it was interesting to find out what they had questions about. And I can't tell you how many times, but I can tell you several, of where we talked about the future. They wanted to know what the future held. And more or less, not the future of the next 2-3 years in their life. But when you talk about future, where are we going to be someday? What's the world coming to? And all those things. And I can remember one particular time we were setting up for the Wood Mode picnic, and we always did that on maintenance, and we always had summer help. That was the teenagers there, the young people, some of them maybe early 20s. And we got talking about that movie called Armageddon. Now, I don't think I've ever seen the movie. I've seen clips of it. But that is an interesting Bible term, Armageddon, is it not? If you study anything on end times or the end of the world, you'll find out that there's a battle called the Battle of Armageddon. And so these young people were sitting there, we were supposed to be working, but we were taking a break. And one of them asked me about it, and I got a chance to tell them that one day Jesus Christ was going to return. That's our hope, is it not? The passage that we just read in Hebrews talks about the fact that we have a hope, and that hope is found in Christ. That's what we're going to talk about today. So, there are many books, movies that deal with global annihilation, nuclear war, alien invasion, or natural disaster, and just not that one movie, but movie after movie after movie. And it always has a star, does it not? It always has a person that comes in and saves the day. Or whether it's a group of former astronauts that go up and one sacrifices his life for the good of the planet. Or a natural disaster and some guy comes up with a cure. Or whether it's an alien invasion like Independence Day and, you know, Will Smith and the other guy, whoever that other guy is, and you know, at the end, he smokes the cigar, right? Because he saved the world. See, I made the connection, did I not? You're all sitting there saying, "Man, I like my pastor. He talks about movies, right?" Well, we got to define hope, don't we? What is hope? Some people hope, or people are looking for some kind of assurance about their future. Not only their mortal existence, the day-to-day, but the immortal. Where am I going to be someday when I die? That was a question I asked all the time when I was a little boy, a little guy growing up. Some people hope in ingenuity. They try to hedge against the realities of life's inevitable tragedies. And we do that by becoming independent. And I was having a conversation the other day with someone that was talking about nursing home insurance. Isn't that interesting? 30 years ago, I wouldn't even have thought of that. And it's like, oh, that was Larry and me. We had that conversation. We were talking about that. Just a bunch of old guys sitting around taking ibuprofen and talking about nursing homes, right? What are they trying to do? What are we trying to do? Hedge our bets against, because we want to be as comfortable as we can, right? We're looking to the future. Ultimately, people must put their trust in something or someone to give themselves some assurance about their future. As we look back in history, people put their trust in leaders. If I enjoy watching documentaries on history. I've been a reader of military, different military campaigns as growing up. And you realize this, is that to us, in our day, Hitler is a bad name, right? Hell yeah, if we look at the atrocities, but you do realize that he grew up, became a leader, and led millions and millions of people because he offered them hope. That's scary, is it not? And before him was leader after leader after leader on the world stage that convinced a group of people that they offered them hope. Usually ended in tragedy. That's why we have the wars of the world, do we not? Because people are looking to trust something or someone, right? So we're going to define hope here. If you'll turn, first of all, to Ephesians chapter 2. Whether others dismiss hope altogether and believe there is no life after death, this view allows them to pursue a hedonistic philosophy of life, which hedonism is just the love of pleasure. And, you know, do you like to take vacation? Come on now, let me see your hands. You like to take vacation? Even if it's just staying at home doing nothing, right? And then you're a hedonist, right? Yep, we're all hedonists because we all like a certain amount of pleasure. That's okay. But we live in a day that is dominated by a hedonistic philosophy. We used to say this when I was a much younger man. Now, I'm still young, but I was much younger. When we were out on the block crew, we would say, "Yippee Skippy, it's Friday." Why? Because Saturday was the weekend. And they would be playing the music on the radio, and you know, they'd start on Friday, "Hey, it's the weekend!" Now I'm 60 years old, and I don't even want to go down on the trail Friday night because it is the weekend. You never go out to eat Friday night because you stand in line. I digress. This view allows them to pursue a hedonistic philosophy of life so they can live with no moral code and do whatever gives them pleasure because they believe there is no judgment to face. Whether unbelievers hold to a bleak view of the future or a bright hope for tomorrow and eternity, the fact is they are separate from Christ, having no hope without God in this world. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12 says this, that at that time, ye being without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. What we're going to define today is the fact we of all people, Dave Dressler, who trusted Christ as a Savior when he was 19, should be people of hope. Should be people of hope. Why? Because we have Christ. We should be full of joy. And yet I find many times in my life, I don't have joy. And I can remember, it's so fun because it's so fun at our house on a Sunday morning when Blake's there, because Blake lives to his own schedule. And I, Grandma, we get down to the van, and Grandma, and I say, come on, hurry up, come on, hurry up. And it's just like Grandma, she mouths over there, quit saying that. At that moment, I have no peace. And my joy is fleeting. But it's not because I don't have Christ. Anyone without God and Christ has no hope for the future. Without hope, death takes on terrifying proportions. All that is left is eternal hell, eternal pain, and eternal punishment. That's why Job says this, and we won't turn there, but for what is the hope of the hypocrite when God taketh away his soul? Proverbs 10:28 says, the hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. There are only two possible destinations in eternity, heaven or hell, and God created them both. Those who are headed for heaven by faith in Jesus Christ have hope. The rest have no hope and will experience the eternal hopelessness of hell. And really, before I get to my first point, perhaps one of the greatest torments of hell is the knowledge that the pain will never cease. Such is the epitome of hopelessness. So in my introduction, I talked about hope. Christians ought to have hope. The Bible says that we can have hope outside of Christ. So we live in a world that is dominated by hopelessness and an attitude where people are looking for hope and willing to follow anybody who offers it, right? That's what I said. I'm not trying to pull no switcheroo. This isn't a Kmart Blue Light special where you go there and they're out of that brand, but we're going to sell you this one for $2 more. Okay? So we're going to define hope. Well, first of all, number one, hope is not a wish. It's a reality, a fact not yet realized. Okay? That's what hope is, right? It is not a wish. Biblical hope is the fact that God has promised and will fulfill. It's not a wish. Now, what is it? Again, hope is the spiritual attitude that causes us to look confidently into the future and motivates us to pursue Christ-likeness with maximum effort. Now, let me back up to an opening statement because I want to take you to where I am in my thought process. My world is changing at such a great pace and changes that I don't like. Would you agree with that statement? Oh, yeah. I mean, my world. I'm not just talking about my country. I'm talking about my world. And so I find myself all, I could make up all kinds of words, new words to express that, but I find myself being anxious. I find myself short-sighted. Because my world is changing. And yet, I have to remind myself, as a believer now, that the world has changed for believers all throughout time. Is that not true? I think about the early church as I was sharing, as I was preaching on Sunday night, I was preaching about the beginning of the church of Philippi, and we went to Acts chapter 16, and we talked about this Roman colony called Philippi, where Paul and Silas goes, and they share the word of God outside of the colony by a stream or a river, and here's a lady named Lydia gets saved, and she says, if you count me and my family worthy, come stay with us, and they started the church there, and pretty soon, Paul and Silas, they ended up in jail. They ended up in jail because ultimately they were preaching the gospel. Somebody lied about them. And you look and say, wow, I guess they didn't have total freedom then, did they? No. They were in the midst of a people that not only, they didn't have a president, they had an emperor, and they practiced emperor worship, and yet the gospel thrived. Christians had joy. Their world was filled with hope. Isn't Isn't that incredible? Why? Because hope is a spiritual attitude that causes us to look confidently into the future, and it motivates us not to just say, oh, I can't wait till I go to heaven. It motivates us that we might live like Jesus, that we might exemplify Christ, that we might, in our lives, pursue to be like Jesus. That's what it says. Amen? That's a powerful passage. And so, what we have now is our hope is secure. Let me see. I think I missed a Bible verse there. I'm not sure. Let me see. Nope. To see how hope is central in the believer's life of faith, let's look at several scriptures there. Now we're to the scriptures. First of all, hope is secure. And this is where we have Hebrews chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. This is our text verses. I already mentioned that in the scripture reading. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Notice that. I put that hope in red there so you can see that. That pops right out, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah, so it looks better on this screen than that one. This one here's a little more high def, so yeah. I'm glad we don't video, because high def would mean everybody can see all the imperfections on my face, you know. So which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus. So Jesus went in that veil. And he's using some Old Testament terminology there, is he not? And see, in the Old Testament, when people came in worship, they came to a tabernacle. It had the outer court, and then it had the holiest of holies. And there was a veil that separated it, and the high priest could only go into that veil once a year, and he went in to offer sacrifice. And, you know, there's many different things that are written about that, but they used to say that the priest would go in with literally rope tied around his ankles, because if he died in there, nobody could go in there, because that was the holiest of holies, and they'd just drag him out. No, that'd be neat. Can you imagine? Well, let me see. Yeah, let's see. Let's say we got Andy here. Andy Wright. Andy's our high priest. He's going in this year. And me and Tim are... the guys are putting the ropes around his legs. Okay, Andy, I hope you make it. You say, well, you're trivializing it too much. How can you trivialize something as serious as that? But watch this. This scripture tells me that Jesus entered that veil for us, not only to offer sacrifice, he offered himself as sacrifice. Amen? He offered it, and look at this, made in high priest after the order of Melchizedek. So our hope is secure. And what's this? A is this. Our hope is an anchor. That's what the passage says. As an anchor of the soul. My hope, your hope in Christ anchors us. Wow. Now, have you ever been on the river without an anchor? Huh? I was visiting with a... I'm so glad you said that, Carmen, because I forgot about that completely. I remember some guys fishing, and I wasn't there, but the tackle box floated, didn't it? Okay, when your tackle box floats and you're fishing, you're in trouble. Amen? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But you know what? Our hope is an anchor, which means it's not movable or shakable. Isn't that incredible? That's what the Bible says. And B is this. It goes right along to define this idea that hope is secure. That's because our hope is embodied in Christ himself. I can remember when, and I hope you don't take this wrong, and I'm putting it out there, and you might be able to take this wrong, but I beg you not to, okay? So I said that, right? I can remember when I went to Bakerburg Community Church. Church was 25 people. We saw God do some incredible things, and then all of a sudden they became scared that I was going to leave. And I kept telling them, your hope cannot be in a person. Your hope is not in a preacher. Your hope is not in a deacon. It's not in a Sunday school teacher. It's not in a neighbor. It's not in a friend. These are people that come alongside of us in our lives to help us. But our hope is ultimately in Christ. Now, I want to, you say, why would you say that? Do you realize how frail life is? Do you realize that at a moment, a person could have a stroke and still be capable of even attending services, but not able to talk? What would that do in your life? It would expose where our hope is. Amen? That's what it is. That's what it is. Now, we ought to love each other. We ought to care for each other. We ought to pray for each other. We ought to encourage each other. But it is all with the express purpose of encouraging each of us to walk with Jesus, because He's our hope. He's our anchor. He's the one who entered the veil. He died for us. He rose from the dead. He conquered death. Amen? He's our Savior. That's exciting, is it not? That's what it's all about. I remember when I first got saved, Brother Jack was my first pastor I ever had. It all made sense, and I trusted Christ at a revival service at Three Rivers Union Church. And I'll tell you what, I loved that man. And he helped me through some incredible times in my life. But I can remember the day, 4 years into me being saved, Karen and I. And you know what happened? He had a heart attack. He had a massive heart attack. He couldn't preach for about a year. And in that year time period, I found out that my hope was placed more in a human being than it was in Christ, because it shook my faith. Come on now, amen? Oh my. You know, we were talking on Wednesday night. We were talking about Psalm 27. Was it Psalm 27? Did we finish that, right? Or Psalm, yeah, Psalm 27, right? Come on now. You guys were in prayer meeting Wednesday night? What was it? Psalm 27? God placed David in a situation in his life where the only one that he could turn to was God Himself. Come on now. Amen? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, my. See, our hope is in the Lord. You realize this, as we further define hope, because that's what we're looking at. Hope is the essential part of the gospel. Well, you say, well, what is that? Well, I don't know. I've got to catch up with my notes here. Karen, she does a good job. I just have to read it, she says. Just read it as it's written, Dave. She made the font a little smaller this time, so I got to tell her, big fonts. Okay? Somebody's going to believe that and going to go to her and say, all you got to do is this. Hey, Karen, I want Dave to preach on this, and she'll make it up, and I'll read it. Okay? I have the on-off switch right here. It's the Energizer Bunny. See, I missed a verse, so you just look at that, and then... Yeah. I got the next verse on there, okay? You think I play too much attention to the screen, don't I? I'll just throw it all away. But now here's what Peter wrote about this hope, and he said this. And I preached on hope after VBS, but this isn't that same message, okay? I printed it out the other day. You know, one day I was studying in my Bible, and I thought, boy, this really lays out good. Nice sermon. This is years ago. I was up at Bakerburg, and I thought, boy, look at that. Nice outline. I was like, man, this sounds familiar. Then I checked my records. I preached it a year ago. Oh, okay. So I do listen to my own sermons once in a while. Okay. But Peter says this when he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's incredible. You know what he says? That's a lively hope that we've been born again unto, which is a living hope. But he goes on and he says this, that it is acquired by Christ and His resurrection from the dead. But it also goes on and it says this, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved for you in heaven. And this is what we're going to talk about. Hope is an essential part of the gospel. Colossians chapter 1, and here's the passage. I knew we would probably be struggling for time right now, so we put it up there. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have for all saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Notice this. Whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. When we present the gospel to people, we're presenting hope. And what is that hope? Well, in my introduction, we talked about people that live without hopelessness. What is the hopelessness? That there is no. They think there's no life after death. We're just here. We ought to just live for what we can. Do we not see an entire world infatuated with the fact that they want to live for today, they want to make sure that everything's taken care of tomorrow, because when they're dead, they don't know. And so you get a guy walking down the street, or you get a person next to you at work, and they're thinking, they're saying, well, why are you so happy? Well, because you know what? This is not the end. My hope is laid for me up in heaven. When I close my eyes in death, it just isn't a lonely, silent grave. It is a place of unparalleled, watch this, beauty, health, security. Come on now, amen? Everything that we are looking for in this world, for somebody to provide for us, is, do you realize this? I'm 60 years old now. Sometimes I feel like I'm 80. Now, let me see. How many of you are 80? Okay, we got one over here. Come on, I want to see your hands if you're 80. Okay, we got two. Dan, you're not 80. You look 80. Okay, so when I got two people here that are 80, three, yeah, you just joined the club. So how do you guys feel? Because if I say I feel like I'm 80, I don't know. I used to always say this. I caught myself saying this the other day. Well, that person looks like they're 60. Well, I looked in the mirror. That's what I am now. Now I got to change everything. It just has me all messed up. Because what I'm saying is that person looks old. And see, you don't know where I buy my Botox, and I ain't telling you. Right? Oil of a leg. I got to... Right? I'm in over my head here. So what will we talk? Oh, that's right. We're preaching. We're talking about hope. Watch this. We're talking about heaven, right? See, you thought I was... You realize, well, heaven, you know, it's a, you know, overweight babies with wings with hearts. Right? Right? That's what heaven is, right? No, it isn't. First of all, we have unparalleled access, unobstructed access to God. Our Savior is there preparing a place for us, says that in the book of John. There is no disease there. Whew, I'll tell you what, when my knees hurt, my joints hurt, and I don't feel too bad today because I'm moving around a little bit. I'm getting my exercise. One of these days I'm going to fall off of here and it'll be 3 weeks I'm in the hospital, but that's okay. We have good health care, so we'll take care of that. No health care in heaven. Come on now, amen? You know what? Violet, teeth aren't going to fall out in heaven. Come on, amen? She had some teeth fixed the other day. Sitting there at home, her tooth just fell right out. That was probably after Dick hit her, but, you know, I'm working on that. That's what I told him, and he goes, they know, everybody knows now. Right? How many of you got dentures? You don't have to raise your hand. No dentures in heaven. No tooth implants. Guess what? There's not going to be no Danica Patrick. Is that her name? The race car driver stopping in and saying, how many of you have been to the dentist? No, because there's no dentist in heaven. Hallelujah. Amen? If you like going to the dentist, you see me. Because you know what? There's something wrong with you. Okay? I don't care what anybody says. There's just something wrong with you. It's not normal for people to reach in your mouth and then ask you 50 questions. How you doing today? Oh, I'm a second-year dental student. We have a class on that. Would you like to spit? Nah, I always sit around with my mouth half full. Right? I'll tell you what. If you like going to the dentist, you probably like paper cuts. And you probably like stepping on nails. I understand that. There's a couple people that like that. My hope is secure. My hope doesn't shake. My hope's in Jesus. Amen? See, the gospel includes our eternal hope. What is it? The joy of our salvation is that one day we will enter into eternal life in heaven. Amen? Come on now. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that great? Wow. And our hymns and our songs remind us over and over. And you know what? Here's the thing. When I was 19 years old, I thought this bit of going to heaven was just something. Yeah, hey, that's neat. I'm glad I'm going to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. But you know what? I'm 60 now. I'm taking it a little more serious. I think it sounds pretty good. Sounds like a good idea. Right? Amen? Come on now. Isn't that the truth? You folks, Braden, you're a young guy. Molly, you're Tanner, you're young. Let me see. Andy and Tara, they're not too old. Ashley, she's just a young whippersnapper. And guys up in junior church. Katie, yeah. They're sitting going. And Becky, you're pretty young yet. Yeah. See, most of us, let me see. I missed Caitlin, Jeremy. Yeah, we got a bunch of young guys here. So they're thinking, heaven's a nice place. For us older folks, it's like, man, I'm glad heaven's real. Aren't you? Aren't you glad there's a place? Come on now. Amen. Aren't you glad? When I was a kid and I'd get sick, I'd lay on the couch. I'd be laying there like this. I'd be laying there. Now, you'll be able to hear us. I'd be going, oh. And my mom would say in from the kitchen, Aunt Shirley, my mom would say this, David, you're not dying. And you know what? I would always say, how does she know? Isn't that the truth? I'd lay there, oh. Yeah. Aren't you glad there's no place in heaven for any of that? Why? Because God. Amen? That's what it is. The joy of our salvation. That's what our joy is all about. That's what our hope's all about. Oh, you know what? I'll tell you what. There's not a person in the world that's going to figure out traffic jams. So you might as well just get used to it. I mean, if I just wish I'd become a state trooper. Because I don't know how many times where I've been in my vehicle and I would say to Karen, I wish I was a cop. Because I'd pull that person over, and even if I didn't write him a ticket, I'd hold him up for an hour just to show him I could do it. Okay? There's not a person in the world that's going to straighten out the mess that we are in. Come on now, amen? And you know why? Because my God is sovereign over this world, whether I want to believe it or not. Amen? That's it. That's it. Let's see where we're at here. And that is a promised fact. And then here's the thing. This is number four. Now, that was all introduction. Now we're ready to preach, okay? Hope produces perseverance. And that's what it says. I got the verse right here, okay? I run up and down too much. I have to have someone carry me up. I'm too tired to walk up, so I'll stay down here and read it. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, grown within ourselves. Do you hear what that passage is saying? The passage right before that talks about the curse that's been put on this world because of the fall. And he says that not only creation, but we groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. Now notice what it says. But hope that is seen is not hope. Something I can't see. Something I can't see. For what a man seeth, what does he hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with... What's that next word? Read that next word with me. What is that? Patience. I love that word, don't you? No, I hate that word. I hate that word. You know, you sit there like this, and see, sometimes we learn how to do this. Sometimes we do know how to, when we get impatient, instead of staying in line, we'll lean and we'll go. Right? Or we'll tap our foot. Right? Or we'll stand there and go. And everybody around us knows what's going on, right? Look at that person. They don't say they're impatient, right? Or we think of nice little, we stood at Target last night, okay? And I couldn't believe it. For the whole store, there was one cashier. And he was the friendliest person in the world. He was talking to everybody. And I'm thinking, Come on, buddy. So we get up there in line, and he says, did you find everything you were looking for? And I said, yeah. And I said, how about you? He didn't know what to say. Yeah, okay. So, but anyways, that's it. We're done. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, see, here's the thing. Let me back up. See, hope produces perseverance, doesn't it? Perseverance in our life. Perseverance, is that a good word or a bad word? Perseverance is a bad word. You say, why? Because it implies that there's something that we don't like, something that is rubbing us, something, right? Come on now, amen? Isn't that the truth? Oh yeah, persevere. You know what? There is not a man in here that perseveres with his wife, right? Come on, fellas, I'm giving you a chance here. You want to say amen to that? Yes. There's not a man in here that perseveres. There is not a wife in here that perseveres with her husband, right, ladies? Amen. Listen to that, guys. You had a chance. You had a chance. You had a chance. I'm preaching online next week, but that's okay. Well, watch this. Just the idea that we persevere means in our life difficulties, right? Oh, I can remember, you know, I worked at Wood Moat for 17 and a half years, and I have to admit, I worked and persevered there. And I thought it was a wonderful job, because I figured if I liked 60% of my job, it was a good job. Right? That means there was four. I remember one time, we're going to start with a Wood Moat story, and we're going to end with a Wood Moat story, and then we're going to go. I remember we used to work in teams, and those, the guys in here that were maintenance men, you work in teams because a lot of times the job takes two people to do it. Me and this one guy, his name's Bulb, and still alive, still works there. I don't, but I could go back and drink coffee with him, but I won't because they'll make fun of how fat I got. And I really feel bad about that. You can tell that. So anyways, we got like 2 or 3 weeks worth of the 40% work that we didn't care for. Just nasty stuff. And so one day, we're talking about this while we're working, and we said, okay, we're going to ask him today. So the boss is in his office. We come back for a break. We go in, we close the door, and I sat down the chair. Boop, sat down the next chair, and I said, whatever we did, we're sorry. Because we thought we made the boss mad, and he was just giving us all the nasty stuff, right? And he goes, what are you talking about? Well, he just pointed out the fact that we were persevering. In a Christian kind of way, of course, right? Oh, yeah. We're going to have to persevere in this world. We persevere by realizing that our hope is not found in people. It's not found in things. It's found in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our hope is secure and it's anchored. And you can't shake it. So if I'm shaken, now I'm talking to Dave Dressler now, then I have to check where my hope is. Where have I chosen to place my hope? Where have you chosen to place your hope? Let's pray.